Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what's up? It's the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. What day is today?
Thursday.
I have no clue. We usually do this on Tuesday. I think last week we did it on a Monday. Now here we are on a beautiful Thursday. The Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart. It's a full house today, folks. It's the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart. MG, my guy Marcus Grant, just fresh off the Bay Area. What's up, dude? How was Vallejo?
It was great. It was nice to be back home.
I got a lot of E40. In rotation?
Some E40 in rotation.
Good. Perfect.
You know, kind of made the old, you know, made the rounds, went past the old high school and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Good time. Good time.
Reception perception master, Matt Harmon, the possibly the greatest fantasy analyst from the state of West Virginia.
Oh, man. I was really, when you started off with reception perception, I was like, maybe he's not going to say anything about West Virginia. And then
you know it's coming up.
Matt Harmon. But you know who else we got in the house? We have the great Adam Rank.
It's been a while.
What's happened?
Long time, pal.
And there goes the click out. You can measure it. Like, everybody's like, all right, we're out.
Well, I mean, if you didn't just big time us all the time.
How did I not big? Listen, you've got your
fancy little, you know, NFL Network show now that you're the host of.
Madden NFL Live?
That's right.
That's the one. It'll be airing on Saturday, I hope.
And I feel as if
I don't know if it's part of the football withdrawal, but we just filmed it. We filmed their final episode.
I don't think it's part of the football withdrawal.
Hopefully we'll be on Saturday.
Everybody should tune in. You can check it out on Twitch and on NFL Network on Saturday, right, Rank?
Yep, Saturday. Actually, it's a good bar show for people on the West Coast.
Okay.
Because if you're still at the bar at midnight.
Right.
And the bartenders left the NFL Network on. Okay. All of a sudden, there's three dudes in pajamas playing video games on television. It leads to a lot of bewilderedness, especially like if I'm sitting like next to somebody who's like, "What the hell's on the NFL Network right now?"
I think the comment that I commonly get is, "They pay these guys to do this."
They tell us that all the time.
That's true.
As fantasy analysts.
That's everybody, yeah.
That is true.
When are we going to reach the point where people are stop being surprised that people get paid to do stuff?
Well, it's more for us, it's less. I think for the Madden guys, it's like, wow, they get paid to do this? For us, it's more like, really? You guys got paid for that?
Yeah. that's a very good point.
But I sit there, if I see the bartender, I'm like, you get paid for this? You get drinks all night? Like, that's amazing. I would do that for free.
No, you would not. Dealing with people's crap? Are you kidding me? Dude, that'd be horrible.
Really?
It would be awful.
You think it's easy being besmirched on Twitter? My Madden skills? It's not easy.
That used to be the privacy of my home. Big show today. We're going to talk about the AFC West ad nauseum. We'll give our daily daps. We'll start with the Super Bowl recap.
Minor event that kind of disrupted our whole
show. Oh, sure. Look, it's Thursday. The game happened on Sunday. I get it. You know, and everything that you've heard about the Super Bowl, you have heard in full. There's no question about it. 24-10, the final, obviously.
If not, tune into NFL HQ.
They will give you a full
recap. Breaking it down.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, well, what did you guys think? I mean, I think I've talked to you guys a little bit about this, but wanted to go around the horn. I guess your takeaways from the game.
I was just happy to see the Broncos feed C.J. Anderson and not Ronnie Hillman. We were talking about this last night. The line was 23 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown for C.J. Anderson.
It was nice, too.
5-0 for Ronnie Hillman.
5 carries?
Yes.
To spin that
back to fantasy, I think that's a good sign for the future because, one, Ronnie Hillman's a free agent, and two, through the stretch run, they got to see the C.J. Anderson that they thought they had last year. So I think that could be a sign of things to come for the Denver offense.
I mean, regardless of whatever happens to Peyton Manning, I think it means good things, I think, for C.J. Anderson from a statistical standpoint because, you know, it's going to be another year under the belt with Gary Kubiak's system. I love that second effort he put on that touchdown run. That was beautiful. And he broke off, you know, a very nice long run as well, showing a little bit of burst there too. So, if he's the featured guy, sure.
I think he'll be a bargain because people will feel too burned this year.
First round, so is that what you're saying?
That's a negative. I also love him to death.
You're talking him into the first round.
I also think that game was a reinforcement that the Panthers need to do something to beef up their wide receiving core. And yes,
you think?
Yes,
good
they
God.
Will. They will get Kelvin Benjamin back next season, and that will be a big boost. But, you know, look, we didn't see much of Devin Funchess during the year. He would kind of pop up occasionally. I mean, I think we all marveled at the fact that Ted Ginn became a playmaker late in the season. I mean, it was amazing the amount of times during that game they tried to force the ball into Jericho Cotchery. So if there is one thing that has to be a priority for them this offseason, it is getting somebody to catch the football.
Matt Harmon over here, who is a Carolina Panthers fan, is rubbing his eyes in disgust as we discuss Jericho Cotchery.
I've mentioned that the relationship is complicated between the Panthers and I, and this is like when your ex, we've broken up, we've been apart for a while,
okay,
but then she comes back, she's
smoking hot,
she's looking better than ever,
sure,
she's talking about how she's changed,
yep,
her and the new quarterback and all this sort of stuff, and but she still leaves you at the altar again. And I hope that's not an illusion for my personal life, but anyways, Marcus said this last week, like it was going to suck if they lost, and it has sucked, because if I was at home, I would just turn the TV off. I can't really turn the TV off, apparently, working for NFL media. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's been annoying.
Well,
but here we are.
What's your biggest takeaway from the game?
Oh, I'm just happy that it's over. No, but I mean, Marcus makes a good point about the wide receiver corps, but I also think that the Panthers offense is not necessarily going away. I think that they will get Kelvin Benjamin back. Devin Funchess might take another step. They will probably draft somebody. And Ted Ginn, like, we all bag on Ted Ginn, but he's not worthless as, like, a fourth receiver, that's a situational deep threat. I also think they need to probably add another young running back, too. I don't think Cameron Artis Payne, showed enough to be, like, the clear number two, and I think they'll draft another younger playmaker.
Jonathan Stewart definitely getting a little longer in the tooth.
And he got hurt again.
Right.
Which –
hard to rely on his health. There's no question about it.
Feel bad for
him. And then Mike Tolbert, too. I think is he a free agent?
I will find out.
He is a free agent.
And I think, I would be surprised if the Panthers, bring him back.
Was anybody else surprised by the number of carries that he got in that game?
How about the fumbles? Like, the guy never turns the ball over, and then he's putting two on the carpet in the most, like, excruciating fashion.
Oh, it was tough.
Just when the momentum was starting to swing the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Per Twitter.com, momentum does not exist.
But you can feel it.
All right. So I guess what I really want to dig into, though, is so now Peyton's got two Super Bowl victories under his belt. He's got a boatload of stats as well. I put out on Twitter, after the game that, I get it. Back end of his career, he's been a corporate shill. But forget about the being a corporate shill. When you kind of take a retrospective into his career, I think there's no question Peyton Manning, a top three quarterback of all time now, and there's just no debate. And then that's what I put. There's just no debate. That Peyton Manning is
silly rabbit.
Do you want you want everybody else to leave the room for this to just come to Adam Rank podcast, or
I don't want to take it over, because I feel like
my
feelings on this subject have been made quite clear. And that honestly, that was the best thing about the Super Bowl, because no matter which side you are on,
right,
in that debate, you got a satisfying conclusion. For people like you who have bought into this myth, this narrative that sports writers have been churning out for the last 20 years, that Peyton Manning is the best quarterback of all time, you finally have that last definitive piece where you can be like, see, he's won two Super Bowls. Now, all of a sudden, Super Bowl wins matter. Like, a couple of years ago, Super Bowl wins didn't matter. But
what?
Now that he has two, Super Bowl wins have always mattered.
What are you talking about?
Now that he has two, everybody's like, it's the most important thing. You're like, he was the reason the Panthers were even in the game. And you're like, well, it doesn't matter. He won. And that's fine. So you guys got that. And I really can't take it from you. But for people on the reality side, the people who are based in fact, it's like religion and science.
Okay.
And you're the faith-based, like, you just got to, whatever. And I'm going with hard facts. And the people who are on that side, who watched the Super Bowl and was like, yeah, he did nothing. You still feel pretty good that I can still say that Peyton Manning is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He's not the best. He's not top three. But
if he's not top three, where is he?
He's in a top 20.
Wow, top 20.
You don't even think he's in the top 20?
No, I do think he's in the top 20.
Listen, Marcus, I thought I took shots at Peyton Manning, but for you to say he's not in the top 20,
I did not say that.
It's ridiculous.
All right, hold on. Rank, you've had your time in the sun. Harmon, Marcus, what do you guys think? I'm going to give this conversation roughly 60 more seconds, then we're going to get to fantasy.
Oh, well, I want him to defend him, Peyton Manning not being in the
Look, I look, Peyton Manning is – I feel like he's probably just off the Mount Rushmore of quarterback.
So he's number five.
Probably number five. I will give him a top five spot there. You know, and I just think this is going to be a Super Bowl – I know that it was great to kind of salute him, and he got up on stage and he was all aw shucks and folksy, and I'm going to drink a bunch of Budweisers and whatever.
That was the worst.
Kill me.
That was the worst.
That should have changed your mind right there.
I know, it should have.
But, I mean, really, he was a caddy to the Denver defense on this playoff run.
Sure.
And he even kind of admitted that. So this is one that, yeah, sure, technically he has a Super Bowl ring, but this isn't the Peyton Manning that we were used to seeing. And the only thing I can think about, I have heard other people mention this, listening to, like, my father and you know, older people talk about watching Willie Mays play for the Mets.
Okay.
And fall down in center field. I mean, the guy who was arguably the greatest baseball player of all time, and just
sure.
watching him be a shell of himself. And that was kind of watching Peyton Manning this year. And I think that makes it hard to suddenly put him, you know, in the Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks.
You know what the problem is, and this is why there's just so many, like, logical fallacies in, like, making these entire arguments about who's the best quarterback ever, you know, and some of the entrapments of that anyways, is you say, like, he was a caddy to the Super Bowl, but, like, 20 years from now when you know, we're hopefully all still doing this and we're talking about Peyton Manning, people are not going to remember that. They're just going to talk about the fact that he has two Super Bowls, and that's going to get lost in the way. And I don't know. I think he's definitely, like, a top five quarterback, especially, like, in my limited – little lifetime here, like, following football in depth. I don't know. I will say, though, Adam Rank, one of the things I've taken from you since starting working here is your great ability to, like, have a debate with somebody and subtly also kind of slap them while, with your words. While doing it. Like, when you say you,
like,
you,
you're doing right,
like,
now.
I'm complimenting you. I'm saying I've learned from you, and
right.
I'm trying to implement that more in my personal life, which isn't going well. So,
right.
This is why I have no
friends.
I would not recommend that in your personal life.
I will say, and I know Alex wants to move on, but it's funny because I still think that the image of Peyton Manning pratfalling his way through this season will linger with him, because Marcus is talking about, when was Willie Mays retired in, like, 1940 or whatever it was?
It was the 70s, but okay.
Whatever. The two things I know about Willie Mays.
1940.
The two things I know about Willie Mays is that he made an awesome catch in the Polo Grounds.
Yeah.
And that he sucked at the end of his career. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope that gets remembered.
So, back to fantasy.
Some of the best stats of all time, Peyton Manning.
Okay, well, you have to remember.
James, you know what? We were so close.
This isn't my fault. Remember, okay.
How is he not in the top three? It's impossible.
First of all, they changed the rules for him.
No, they did not.
Oh, my God.
No, they did not.
After he was repeatedly beat by the Patriots, they went and passed legislation in 2006.
This was a congressional act here? I mean,
pretty much. Pretty much. To change it. And then his statistics don't matter because the
NFL was. Statistics don't matter.
You
okay.
can't compare.
What matters?
Okay,
I don't understand. Are you a football nihilist? All I will say, look,
I'll say one
person.
Let's
say
matter. If Dan Fouts in his prime played today, if the span of his career matched Peyton Manning, do you think he wouldn't put up those numbers?
You know what? Here's the thing, Matt Harmon. I know you're going on hiatus. You're going on a sabbatical.
Going
on a sabbatical for a while. I need for you to work on a metric. You know how, like, they talk about movies and, you know, they adjust the grosses for inflation
and stuff?
We need to figure out how to kind of adjust
what
stats.
That rate of inflation is. Yeah,
right. We need to figure that out for football.
You're right. I won't be busy all off
right.
with another metric that I already created. I'll have plenty of time on my hands to start with another position.
Somebody does need to do that. They should take, like, the average of the NFL quarterbacks in that year. And then kind of adjust stats accordingly.
Yeah,
that's
I will say it, like, for quarterbacks like Roger Staubach and players of that era, if you reached the 25,000-yard milestone, that was your lock into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Now Matthew Stafford gets that in four seasons.
Well, Pro Football Reference has the adjust or the approximate value metric, and
yeah.
Peyton Manning's number one in that. Because I know that because there is a – in the great NFL media archives, there's a long piece that I wrote up for Peyton Manning's retirement, if and when it does happen.
There you go.
And that's I talk about that in there. So,
all right, let's talk about the AFC West.
Whew, we're clear.
A division
Need
where
a
Peyton Manning, a top three quarterback of all time, resides.
just we'll talk.
What's just, wrong with you? Just move on.
Just needling. The Denver Broncos. What's our reaction for 2015? And you know, it's really interesting because been doing a lot of hits for NFL Now here, and when we talk about teams that will be in the Super Bowl next year, very few analysts are saying the Broncos. Which I don't really get that.
It's
you know
crazy.
What I mean? It's
is that who's leaving off that defense?
I don't know. Though.
That's what I mean.
Because I was seeing some, you know, every time somebody wins a Super Bowl, it's always like, well, is this the next dynasty? Give me a break.
It's not a dynasty, but I mean.
But I was seeing some of that talk, and I'm thinking, like, this is a tough formula to repeat with.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, minimalizing your quarterback.
Yeah.
And winning with defense, and then also, like, down the stretch, other than C.J. Anderson and Emmanuel Sanders, who else was playing well on that offense? And I get it; they're not losing anybody from the defense, but
right.
Like I said, that is a really tough.
But you got some great experience for Brock Osweiler,
right?
To go out there, because most of the time when you have a quarterback coming into this situation, if you think of Aaron Rodgers,
they come in cold.
You basically have a handful of preseason games, and it's like, all right, you're the starter. Mm-hmm. Good luck, and it takes them a little bit of time to get going. Brock Osweiler got to play an extended period enough to get his feet wet so when he comes in next season as the full-on starter who's going to get all those reps in training camp, he's still got a handful of NFL games, meaningful NFL games behind him. That should help him a little.
Rank, I think in your gesticulations you bumped your mic. Could you adjust
it? Oh, my bad.
Here is my argument against the Broncos winning another Super Bowl, and that would be the 2000 Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
Who went and won a Super Bowl largely on the strength of their defense. I mean, they were quarterbacked by Trent Dilfer. They had an offense that was not particularly spectacular. Yeah, they had Shannon Sharpe, who was their big playmaker. And they won a Super Bowl mostly because their defense was phenomenal. Next year they got back to the play. I mean, they were 12-4, just like the Broncos this year, 12-4 with a phenomenal defense and a good enough offense. Next year they go 10-6.
Did that team have Jamal Lewis on it?
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Next year they go 10-6, they lose in the divisional round. And so I don't see any reason that the Broncos can't, again, be a playoff team.
Sure.
But, I mean, look, even with a defense as amazing as theirs is, this is still a league where you have to be able to, at some point, score points. You've got to be able to win different ways. And you're just asking so much. Because even in the Super Bowl, they asked a lot of that defense.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
They didn't put the Panthers away until, you know what, less than 4 minutes in that game.
Right.
I mean, they.
Because their quarterback kept turning
now,
the ball
right.
over.
To Marcus's point of scoring points, let's spin it back to fantasy a little bit.
Yeah.
Who's going to score points for them next year? Do they have Osweiler under center? How does that make you guys feel about Thomas and Sanders? Like, Thomas struggled a lot this year.
And that's my big thing, right? Like, to me, I feel like Demaryius has got to bounce back, no?
Does he?
That's a tricky question.
Does he?
Maybe. I don't know. What happened to Demaryius Thomas this year, man?
Well, I think
I don't get it.
The change in velocity from the quarterback. Because when Peyton throws it, I imagine it's trying to catch a helium balloon.
But even when Brock was throwing that rock, though, it wasn't like
it didn't change it, but I don't know. I have a limited experience catching because I'm left-handed. But and you have to, like, because when you're a bullpen player, you have to warm up other pitchers. And it's a weird thing to watch the different velocities of guys throwing the ball. And I think that when you don't have the consistency at quarterback, it kind of hurts a little bit.
What's a pitcher? That's like the thing. That's like the things we drink at happy hour.
That
right?
It is a position in baseball
all right.
that delivers the ball.
I love the millennial response that they think.
Oh, of course it has to be a generation.
Ignorance of stuff is cool. Like, hey, I'm super ignorant of a lot of things.
That's not exclusive to millennials. That's every generation. Anyways.
I don't think so. I think that we've had a whole.
You're right.
Bunch of know-it-all generations who think they know everything about, like, the 80s. Like, everybody thought they knew everything about everything.
Right. There's definitely no ignorance 90s. In the older generation.
No, not at all.
Not that they celebrate. Not that there isn't, but not that they celebrate.
So,
no,
back
they
to
do,
James
people Burchard. Will try.
Think about baby boomers and, like, technology.
But that,
they love not knowing about technology.
They know.
They love not knowing about it. They're like, yo, what is this?
Okay,
a cell phone?
Can we get back to Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, okay. I was going to say. One, you could play. We could be playing a drinking game on the side of the glass with how many times Gelhar like grasped at the air.
or has face-palmed this podcast. It's an exceeding number.
But
sure.
Demaryius Thomas, one to your point about when Brock Osweiler was in there, one of his worst games was probably that New England game when he had like 13 targets and only caught one pass. And that was with Osweiler. So, I don't know. The thing about him is that he's never been, like, a technically proficient player. He's always really, to be honest, been, like, a bad route runner. But his overall physical skills have just been so great. That
he's
been just
able such
to,
a physical beast.
Yeah, he's and I think – I don't know. It's weird this year that I think some of those flaws got more accentuated.
But the drops, though, that was so uncharacteristic of him.
Yeah, and drops are always such an annoying, like, very fickle topic to talk about with wide receivers, and you're also isolating, like, you know, I don't even know how many drops he had, but like 10 to 13 plays off the hundreds and hundreds of routes they run. It's kind of like silly to talk about it, and you could easily be like, he could easily drop like 4 passes next year, and nobody would care. I don't know. I'm still a little nervous, though, going forward.
I am nervous as well. And, you know, we were talking about at Happy Hour last night, James. You remember, like, you're remembering him making good plays with Tebow. But on that season in 2011, he only caught 45% of his passes for 550 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
The next year, once Manning was under center, 94, 1,410, 92, 1,414, 111, 1,611 was his next 3-year stretch.
Man.
But I think that was partially the offense and Manning knowing where and when to get it to him a little better than other quarterbacks.
All right. Well, there you go.
He also has been pummeled with targets. Like, I think he led the league last year.
184 and then 177 this year.
Right.
Yeah, 177 targets
this year?
Yes,
he did.
I know. So I wonder if that's going to continue to happen in a, you know, in an offense that really the big butting of heads was Manning still wanted to throw the ball and do his thing, and Kubiak wanted to be more conservative.
Which I think leads to the C.J. Anderson-Ronnie Hillman discussion of if Peyton Manning isn't there. I think we're all kind of operating on the assumption that Peyton is going to retire very soon.
No. He's going to the L.A. Rams.
That too, which is kind of like retirement. So, come on.
That was good. No, I like that.
He'll be behind Case Keenum.
Oh, that was the first time I've ever said that on any sort of air.
L.A. Rams?
L.A. Rams.
And them still being the L.A. Rams.
Wow. I just think it means that they will be a lot more run heavy. It will be the offense Gary Kubiak wants it to be. And I think that bodes very well for C.J. Anderson. And Ronnie Hillman is, I guess the handcuff if you're into that sort of thing.
I don't even know if they bring
him
back.
They bring him back.
I don't think they will. I really don't.
I wouldn't imagine, though, that if he doesn't get a sniff from another team, and to be honest, who would really, backs are a dime a dozen.
Right.
I don't know. He could easily be back there on a super limited deal, but maybe not.
Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. How about the Kansas City Chiefs? They were.
But did we mention? Somebody mentioned C.J. Anderson. I think one thing is if the new way a lot of people are drafting is going wide receiver heavy.
Right.
Yeah. I see C.J. Anderson being next year's Doug Martin.
Okay.
The guy you grab in the fourth or fifth round.
Right. Totally.
All of a sudden is your number one running back at the end of the season, and if you've got a couple of great wide receivers at the top of the draft, you're going to be looking pretty good.
Okay. Kansas City Chiefs. It's an offense that, I don't know, didn't have too many stars in it, really, because Jamaal Charles goes down. Jeremy Maclin was so-so. And Travis Kelce, I thought, disappointed big time this year as well. I guess, what do we make of the Kansas City Chiefs in 2015, and what do we think they're going to do in 2016?
They're going to do in 2016 about what they did in 2015. I mean, is there a more just milquetoast offense out there than the Kansas City Chiefs? There's nothing about them that really gets you excited. I mean,
I like milquetoast.
Jamaal Charles, I like Jamaal Charles a lot, but you have to wonder how much he can continue to carry this offense. Jeremy Maclin is a fine wide receiver too, fantasy wise. You're not going to get much out of Alex Smith. Travis Kelce was very lackluster. He kind of disappeared at times this year. And I mean, that is who they are, and I don't see anything changing with them.
Can I talk about Jamaal Charles very quickly? I'd love to get
get
your take on Jamaal Charles here, because I still think he will go somewhere in the top 12 picks?
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, he's very at the tail end of those 12 picks.
Yeah, well, he's not a top 5 guy, but I mean,
it really depends on how the people in your league draft. I mean, if there's people, I know sometimes when we do mock drafts, there's still a lot of people who are taken. Like, we did one, I think, for one of our live shows. And everybody's joking about, the wide receivers are going to go crazy. I was the only one picking wide receivers. Jamaal Charles with the fourth overall pick. You're like, what is happening with people? Like, don't do this stuff anymore, especially with a guy who's injury prone.
Well, I guess that's the takeaway, right? I mean, when he plays, he just looks so amazing.
Right, so real quick, I just went to fantasy football calculator. They have mock drafts open that people have been doing.
What?
And apparently for 2016 so far, Jamaal Charles has been going on average at about the 12th pick.
There you go.
I get the feeling after what we saw from Sharkhandrick West and from Spencer Ware.
They're going to get
that it's going to be more of a committee system. You've got a guy in Jamaal Charles who's getting a little bit older, who, as you referenced, James, has had some injuries over the last few years.
Heck yeah.
And plus, we know that Andy Reid has this habit of forgetting that Jamaal Charles is on his team every once in a while and then apologizing at the end of the game, saying like, I should have given him the ball more. No.
That is his favorite move.
No kidding, right?
That's his favorite move. He loves doing that.
Aside from mismanaging the clock at the end of a game.
Right.
That too.
He is the best three-quarter coach in NFL history.
Oh, that's mean.
But, I just have this sense that whoever it is, whether it's West or where, I right now lean toward West, but whoever, they're going to be in a lot heavier rotation with Jamaal Charles next year.
Might be true.
They end up rotating a little bit, and especially I think Ware has value as like a closer for a team that is defensive heavy, a big grinded out like bully running back at the end. So I wouldn't expect it to be a full-blown committee, but they'll get sprinkled in more than in years past.
Very quickly, if he's available at 12 for you guys, do you take him?
I think I'd feel more comfortable waiting.
Okay.
Probably not. Yeah, I mean
if he's available at 20, do you take him?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wait.
Oh yeah.
No.
That would, I guess, askew your wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident I'm gonna go dual wide receivers. I'm doing one of these fake mock drafts right now.
Okay, great.
Just to see where he ends up.
Okay.
Quick science.
Quick point on the passing game. Like we were talking about Travis Kelce kind of disappointed in, and I agree.
Well, wasn't his season was the same as the one before?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Expectations were so high.
Literally, it was almost exactly the same. And the problem that we're talking about with Kansas City being a milquetoast offense, like he had 103 targets and people were constantly complaining about how little he was being featured. He still had 22.2% of the team targets because they just don't throw the ball enough.
Alex Smith was like 19th in attempts this year with like only 470. So, but you're right. The season's actually – I forgot how close they were. This year he had 875 yards and 5 touchdowns. Last year he had 862 and 5.
So I think
– Are you worried about the new – by the way, he was in a contract year. Are you worried that he got a fat new contract? Does it – scare you off a little?
It's also going to be on a dating show.
I'll tell you this. That scares me off more than the contract. I'm not going to lie.
Again.
He's going to be on a dating reality show on E! That features 50 women. And this was that was announced one day before he signed his fat new contract.
I thought it was the same day because everybody's like, great day for Travis Kelce because that came out.
Day
and then
before.
It was?
It was. It felt like the same day because the sports websites didn't pick it up until the new contract came out.
Right.
Good for him, though. James plugged into the celebrity dating world.
Oh, my gosh. My wife in Daily Mail, holy cow. She's like, do you know this Travis Kelce guy?
Yes.
I was like, Kelce? Yes, I know him.
Good for him, though. He is a very handsome man.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He's incredibly I'd like to think that I'm like the bootleg version of him.
Wow. He just calls himself that.
We have similar hair, beard.
Oh.
All right, and that was a Fantasy Life podcast. We're going to shut it down now.
Holy cow.
What?
I don't even know where that one came from. That's amazing.
I like to think we have
similar. Harmon's going full peacock over here.
We have a similar sense of style.
Oh,
so should we talk about the Raiders?
Yeah, let's move along here.
Let's move on.
Wait, in this mock draft that I just did.
Okay.
Jamaal Charles went in a 13th.
13th. Okay.
All right. Still going.
Jordy Nelson went 12th.
Okay, are these real people?
I don't know.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're on Fantasy Football Calculator today, you have to be a little bit of a freak. So I'm assuming that
you're focused.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Quiet.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think this is
closes Fantasy Football Calculator.
I was going to say.
Can I
No, because I'm just saying. I mean, these are probably semi-serious, semi-serious fantasy football players.
These are the sharps. And the first 12 picks go A.B., Gurley, Le'Veon, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, David Johnson, Adrian Peterson at 7, Gronkowski, DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Allen Robinson, Jordy Nelson.
Like, that's, yeah, no, I mean, that makes
sense. Like, if that's you're legit. Playing with sharps.
Well, that's also a very reactionary first round to this year. Yeah. I think once the offseason hits and we get things settled, you know, things will shift a little bit. But
once
it's
Matt Forte signs with the Cowboys, then all of a sudden people talk about him being the number one over. That's the worst possible scenario.
How about Doug Martin signing with the Cowboys? Hello.
That's fine.
He's not going anywhere. All right, Raiders.
Raiders. 2015 takeaways. How about this? Michael Crabtree, I mean, one of the best offseason signings for any team, given his production and given his salary. It was great. Latavius Murray, I thought, was okay.
What's crazy about him is you say, okay, he finished as the RB10.
I know, but
it's a weird year. I mean, Danny Woodhead was like three spots behind him.
I mean, he was
in overall, so it's a messed up year. I know.
Derek Carr certainly showed a lot of promise, and he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that if you're waiting on quarterback, he will absolutely be one of those guys that you will be targeting. I guess what do we take away from 2015? And looking ahead to 2016, what do we think, Matt Harmon?
Yeah, the Raiders offense, and especially Derek Carr, kind of took a little bit of a step back in the second half of the year, but I also think a lot of that had to do with the protection falling apart, so perhaps they make some more moves on the offensive line. This is a really interesting offense because, you know, not only is Carr progressing, but you mentioned Latavius Murray, who was like the most meh running back one campaign of all time.
Yes,
I mean, like, he
absolutely.
Most, like, more often than not, he got you, like, 8 points, you know.
Right.
And only, I think, a few times did he ever exceed more.
Yeah, he popped to, like, a couple 20-point ones.
So, honestly, like, I think they will probably add at least another, like, significant body in the backfield and make that more confusing.
Oh, my gosh. I hope not. They already have, like, 17 running backs.
Well, yeah, but they have Helu and Marcel Reese and Olawale.
There you go.
Jameis Olawale.
Jameis Olawale.
Okay.
So they all got carries.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just think they'll probably make a more significant move.
I would expect.
While
I
not disparaging any of those players you just mentioned.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did that as well.
It was, to me, shocking how few big plays he had, Latavius, we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about a big body guy that had tremendous speed. Unbelievable. And we saw his coming out party the year prior. What was it?
Against the Chiefs.
Two touchdowns.
Thursday night game.
On four carries.
On four
and like 120
carries.
Yards.
He also got hurt in the
concussion, and he was gone for a couple
of years. I saw an interesting study. I forget who did it, so I apologize to the person on Twitter that was looking at it this past offseason, but how even in his limited sample size, Murray was very much a boom or bust runner. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny because I was looking at the number of explosive plays recently that running backs had, and of backs with over 100 carries, Murray ranked 38th in the percentage of his carries that went for 10-plus yards.
That's not good.
Man, I tried to warn you guys. I was not on the Latavius Murray bandwagon.
Okay.
Like everybody, like, because Akbar works out with him. Akbar is on.
Hashtag shirtless workout.
Workout, baby.
He's one of the hosts of American Ninja Warrior. He's also on the fantasy football show. You know what? I mean, I liked Amir Abdullah, so I don't want to be, you know, too full of myself. But at least I got – see, when you have a huge whiff like Amir Abdullah, you got to look back on one guy. You're like, no. But I was right about Latavius Murray, right? And that's really one the thing about when you look at guys like Murray is ask the people who drafted, how did you feel about having Latavius Murray on your team? I would say most people would be like, yeah.
Disappointed.
That was terrible.
Right.
I will tell you, there was a lot of when because I remember bringing this up a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people were like, hey, I'll take that 8 points from my running back, too. I'm like, you guys got to raise your expectations.
Right.
Don't settle for mediocre.
But,
come on.
But it depends on what you have surrounding it. Like,
right.
If you went real early. Like, if you're running back, let's say your three wide receivers were Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Allen Robinson, then, yeah, I'll take the 8 points from the running back all day.
I think regardless of position, we're talking wide receiver or running back, 8 points is fine on most weeks, but every now and again they gotta pop for 20.
Well, I also think
I don't think he had one of those.
I also think the attitude of I'll take 8 points for my RB2 came from a season where you just didn't know who your RB2 would be on a week to week basis. So you're like, you know what? Yeah. If I can get eight, fine. I'll figure it out.
If it was Latavius Murray or Antonio Andrews, you're riding Latavius Murray all day.
It's true.
So
it's very true.
Let's talk about the passing game real quick. Derek Carr, 32 touchdowns, just shy of 4,000 yards. Crabtree caught 9. Cooper caught 6. What do we think about this duo? Any of those other wide receivers going to encroach on this? And could Clive Walford be a sneaky, sneaky tight end to
pick
up off the waivers?
Well, first, when you talk about Amari Cooper, and you know, it's a symptom of young wide receivers. I just need some more consistency out of him. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have these huge weeks. I mean, I'm looking. You know, he went 47 in week one. The next 2 weeks, 109, 134. Then it was below 50. You know, it was really kind of boom or bust with him. And so hopefully
he's a great flex play last year.
He's a good flex play. And I mean, look, he is immensely talented, and I expect that he will continue to progress. And I think
exactly.
I actually do think part of it is that this rookie wide receiving class was sort of handicapped by the group that came before it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
The group previously was so phenomenal that I think it raised the bar unfairly for this group. Because I think the rookies that we had, or at least Amari Cooper, because a lot of them were hurt or didn't play till late, there was just no way that they could live up to the expectations in front of them.
All right, so what do you expect for Amari Cooper next year? I mean, if he takes a step forward, he's going to be a second-year player. He's got a big, strong-armed – I guess he's not big, but he's got a strong-armed quarterback in Derek Carr. And they seem to have some chemistry building there. I know we've been kind of, you know, riding Latavius Murray a little bit, but I think he's still a pretty solid running back. Maybe not spectacular, but certainly a guy that you can give the ball to. What are your expectations, Adam Rank, for Amari Cooper next year?
I have huge expectations for Cooper.
I do, too.
I mean, up until, as Marcus was talking about last year, most wide receivers made that huge leap in their second season. And that's
second or third.
Yeah, second or third. It's usually when they come along because it's a hard position to learn, although the college game is evolving, so that's helping out. I expect him to have a Allen Robinson-type season.
We're talking double-digit touchdowns?
Oh, yeah. That's 12, 1,300 yards. Yeah, we'll talk about the Chargers in a moment. The one thing I think the moving hanging over the Chargers is going to be worse than it is for the Raiders. It just is business as usual. They play in a terrible stadium. Nobody cares. I think Derek Carr gets a lot better, and I think Amari. I think both those guys take huge steps.
I think so too.
I think they could find a running back. Not enough to keep me from cutting you off.
No, of course, continue.
I really think that this could be like a Jags type breakout with this group, just kind of like, whoa, these are fantasy superstars all of a sudden.
In that vein, here's what I was going to kind of say is my sentiment on the Raiders as of right now, heading into looking at this next fantasy season. I would love to have a lot of these players on my team, but I don't right now want to get in the point where I feel like I'm reaching for them.
Right.
Whereas like with Martavis Bryant and stuff like that last year, I felt more comfortable reaching for them. Right now, I would love to have these Raiders on my team, but I don't know, I don't know if I want to reach for Amari Cooper at like round four or something.
I feel like every single one of these players could be a tremendous value.
Right.
Could be.
The thing with Amari Cooper that was so great coming out was like he was incredibly polished like as a route runner. Like almost weirdly so. And he's still only 21 years old, like freshly 21 years old too, which is why he's like already a top five dynasty receiver. If you play in a dynasty league, people love him. But Marcus is right. He was definitely very inconsistent as a rookie. I talked about drops earlier and how it's kind of stupid, but he did also Pro Football Focus had him with 18 drops, and which was by far the most in the league. He definitely has some flaws, and one thing that people don't know, I think kind of people forget, is that Crabtree actually led the team in targets this year.
Yes, he did.
And Cooper was second. I expect that to reverse.
Didn't Crabtree have all the red zone targets too?
Yeah, he was the featured guy in the red zone. But I think those two numbers kind of start to reverse, though I do think Crabtree's a great security blanket for Carr. And I also expect big things out of Cooper.
Well, I think the year began with the hope that that Cooper would lead the team in targets. And I think, you know, because of his inconsistency and because Crabtree really was a steadying – I don't want to say he was a possession receiver, but he was that guy Derek Carr felt like he could go to when you know when they needed to convert on third down. Michael Crabtree was the guy they were looking for.
Cooper started getting number one coverage right off the bat, which he might not be defeating that coverage on a regular basis. I'll just rely on, you know, Crabtree facing the number two corner.
All right, where do you take Cooper next year? I feel as if early, if I had to project him today right now, I would say he's probably going in the fifth round in 10-team leagues.
Fifth, fourth round, yeah, for sure.
That's why I said, I wouldn't be comfortable reaching for him in the fourth, but if he's sitting there in the fifth or sixth, Absolutely.
Derek Carr.
I never do well in the fifth round.
Adam Rank's fifth round is amazing.
I'm really going to just jump in on the fourth so I don't get him.
In the fifth?
So you don't put that specter on him?
Because I really believe – I said this at the end of the – I think it was one of our last fantasy shows. I said, I'm going to just take Gostkowski in the fifth round just so I know that I'm getting consistent points in my fifth round draft. Because 2 years ago, it was Cordarrelle Patterson. Last year it was Ameer Abdullah. Although, one league I did have Todd Gurley in the fifth round.
Derek Carr, where are you taking him? It's going to be double digits. Late. Yes,
it's going to be double digits. Yeah, without a doubt.
I think if you're waiting on a quarterback, I think you mentioned this earlier. Somebody talked about one of the prime candidates of the I'm going to wait on a quarterback guy.
Right.
I'm going to get a hodgepodge, a little stew of quarterbacks going at the end of my draft in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, where I draft a couple guys just to see who pans out. Derek Carr's definitely got to be in that, that group.
You know what's crazy is how many rounds ahead of Carr do you think Bortles would be drafted?
I was just thinking about two guys.
We spend too much time.
We do spend way too much time together.
So, it would be quite a few.
But, relative to the value, they could easily put up very similar seasons.
I could see Carr outproducing.
That was my question is, could you count on Derek Carr to be a QB1 this year?
I would
going to be a double-digit guy.
I would be happy to take him in the 10th to 14th round or whatever, wherever he's falling and how the quarterback board goes. And run that risk. Christ, I did that with Sam Bradford in a couple leagues this last year, and it still panned out because I'd streamed or picked up somebody else.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that you can take a risk on him, and you still have the streaming option. Yeah.
Derek Carr or Kirk Cousins?
I'd take Carr.
Carr.
By a
hair. Kirk Cousins is my mortal enemy.
Why?
Why?
What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know how – I don't want to get too granular. I appeared on. I know. It would be weird if I was really like that, where I really had that self awareness, where I didn't want to go down a wormhole. No, I some people might not have known that I appeared on Sky Sports, on the Reg last
Humble
year
brag. With Laura Woods.
Yep, with Laura Woods.
Adam,
one of the brightest minds in fantasy football, and they were going to have a hit. I was just going to do a Super Bowl preview from Radio Row in San Francisco.
Okay.
Our team would not, allow me to go do that. I was replaced by Kirk Cousins. He is now my mortal enemy.
Oh. I see.
I was yanked.
Okay.
By my own team.
Sure.
And then Kirk Cousins. And, of course, I don't.
So
I don't,
you're
I don't care for that at all.
You and Robert Griffin III are basically the same person.
We are. We are. He's more of a Marvel guy, but yeah, that's okay. And I saw Kirk Cousins was walking down the red carpet of the Madden Bowl.
Okay.
And I was gonna just assault him, be like, "You're my if that's me saying something like that, he'd be like, "I have no idea who you are.
Get the
hell I don't know why you're mad at me, but please get away." But he seems like such a nice guy. That he would probably be like,
Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, and Blake Bortles. I think they're kind of in that same group, maybe.
Bortles is going to get drafted the highest out of them.
Yeah. Where does Bortles go? Is Bortles going like eighth round?
Too high.
Oh, okay. Well, Derek.
Oh, man, don't besmirch him.
I'm not, but just.
I will say this. I'm going to definitely take a 15th round flyer on Clive Walford. There's no question.
Thank you. I wanted to get him in real quick because, I mentioned him, and people kind of joked, but his last five games, he got 5 targets, 7 targets, 7 targets, 3, and then 4.
I do remember, giving him some love in some late season fantasy.
He's somebody that I really want to look back and watch how he progressed in the pro game. Because early on, rookie tight ends never do anything. But he was an athletic guy coming out of Miami, pass catcher, really dynamic. So I'm interested to go back and watch him and see if he might be a sneaky, 15th round flyer.
I agree I think so.
He was a great product of the U.
You're
Danger
not talking about
zone
that's what I was just about to say.
Not that you,
Bonnie and Clive Walford. See, no. Here's the thing too about Clive Walford that I'll say very quickly is that if this offense is going to be as prolific as at least on paper they could possibly be, there's going to be some spillover. There's going to be some trickle down effect to Clive Walford because again, you mentioned he's a good athlete. And he's got good, solid hands. And it seems like, especially at the back end of the season, that Derek Carr did trust him, especially in the red zone. So if they can put up some points, we're talking about the Raiders as a team, there could definitely be some solid trickle-down effect to Clive Walford.
I think a lot of people, because they put their number one corner on Amari Cooper,
right.
Then they started to realize, we got to cover Michael Crabtree now, too.
That
They let Wolford kind of sneak in there. I think there's going to be a lot. It's going to be very
Seth
hard.
Seth Roberts, too. I think he's a good player.
I forgot about Seth Roberts.
He made some – I took him
some really nice plays.
In a dynasty, like, startup mock that I'm doing with a bunch of people. And
super deep sleeper.
Yeah, he's a guy I think I'm going to look at for sure. He had some pretty big games and looked competent as, like, a third receiver.
I 100%
the trickle-down effect.
That helps no one all-star.
Absolutely.
Also, a tremendous, I mean, an awesome downfield threat, no question. Mm-hmm. All right, San Diego Chargers, man, they struggled this year. They really just got ravaged by injuries. But that being said, Philip Rivers still there, getting a little long in the tooth, but that's okay. Danny Woodhead was a surprise-ish.
Danny Woodhead was almost a disappointment.
Okay.
Because the buzz had started to just really grow around him, and people were – I'm drinking my grapefruit IPA hipster.
I really feel like we in the fantasy stronghold should take some blame for that.
this guy.
I feel like we did a lot to push that
How about take credit for that?
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, credit.
One of the best podcast moments is you guys just going goo-goo gaga on Woodhead.
Oh,
and then Gelhar wrapping up the convo by saying, I mean, obviously all of us here – love Danny Woodhead. And I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
It was when it was during
Danny
his
Woodhead is a player. He's just a guy.
It was exactly. It was during his like kind of stretch where they'd stopped using him. They were really feeding Melvin Gordon, and like we talked about it, and like the three of us in franchise all just like sighed, and there was this moment of silence, and then you just like sent a barrage on poor Danny Woodhead, calling him just another player. And
He is.
Oh,
so he is not a Jag.
Oh, my gosh. He's one of the top running backs in the game.
Okay.
Fantasy-wise?
Alrighty.
I mean, you want to go ahead and draft his backup, Melvin Gordon, over him.
I don't want to draft either
one
of these guys.
You go with Melvin Gordon. Who's
I would love to draft Danny Woodhead in PPR.
The misnomer. In regular fantasy, he was really good because
he was the RB 12 this year.
If he's getting you 56 yards rushing and then 64 yards receiving, that's a good day. That's
a tremendous
day.
That's
100.
He didn't have
100 scrimmages.
He didn't have too many of those.
He had plenty of those. There's a reason why he was number 12.
It's called injuries.
James,
I know, so he would have – stop it.
James listen, you can't talk sense into him about this because he's into flashy guys with the combine numbers. He's not into hard-working, gritty guys. That's not his thing.
Lunch pail guys. You're right. I'm just not into the hard hat wearing
so
dudes.
This offense. let's talk Keenan Allen a little bit this year. Keenan Allen was off to a rip-roaring start. He had a couple games where he disappeared, but – he was playing really good ball before his lacerated – was it spleen or kidney? I forget. Kidney.
Spleen.
Anyways, he had
lacerated kidney.
He had internal organs that were bleeding and had to get shut down.
Yep.
So, coming back for this year, where do you guys feel good about taking Keenan Allen?
He's going to be a forgotten man. He really is. Because, again, I mean, yes, he was having a pretty nice season, but it was very up and down. He got shut down early. I think he's going to be a forgotten guy. I think he's going to be a really good candidate for a tremendous value, mm-hmm. I think, later in drafts. I really don't see him going before the eighth round. I don't see it.
Really? Am I the only one who is just worried that somehow this Charger offense falls off a cliff?
I know.
I don't know why. I mean, I worry about Philip Rivers. Like, I feel like I'm gonna go into this year trying to avoid Philip Rivers.
Oh, I'm not
in drafts.
Him. There's no way.
I just have this
really?
Weird feeling that it's gonna go wrong for the Chargers.
They gotta fix the offensive line.
Yep.
First of all,
that's exactly.
They still haven't gotten over losing Nick Hardwick. And really, and I alluded to this earlier about the whole moving thing. Is that Philip is so adamant about
not coming to LA. Nope.
Part of the reason I think that they were going to put their training camp in Santa Ana was because, like, look, like, you can still be in South County. You'll sort of be in San Diego. Like, they're trying to go out of their way to not be fully, like, engulfed in L.A., and this whole thing's going to hang over them. Like, hopefully – I sincerely hope that San Diego just gets it together. They get a stadium really done really quick, and they're like, look, we're staying for the long haul. And then – that would help alleviate some of the pressure. But, man, this team – and I was there. I was a youngster, but I remember the 94 Rams. And that season was so awful because they had – the year before, they had been rumored to be the team that moved to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then they saved them, but you knew they were still gone. And it was so miserable. Nobody went to the games. It was awful. I would hang out in front of the stadium before each game, and people would be like, hey, do you want a ticket? Like, okay. And I just fear that it's going to be the same way with San Diego.
It's a great point.
Really something that's going to – I mean, as bad as it was this year, it's going to be even worse next year if that thing's hanging over their head.
It's a great point because it's going to be weird for these guys to play in front of half-empty stadiums, no?
Well, it's
they won't be half-empty. It'll just be filled with the other team's fans.
They're challenging their fans to come to
they're
rally the city
to.
And stuff.
They're not going to. They, even when they had Marty and were LaDainian and Gates was in his prime and
I know,
even
I
then no, they don't, even don't, then don't, they don't, they don't. Had difficulty filling out the stadium.
They did not.
Now,
absolutely did not.
Back to Rivers.
I had season tickets in 2005. That stadium was full and it was filled with Chargers fans.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it wasn't.
You get a strong presence of other teams because. Unlike a lot of NFL cities, San Diego is a very desirable place to live. So you always have that out of town. What you guys all moved from somewhere else? Don't act like I'm saying something for you.
I'm not. No.
But you're always going to have that element of like opposing fans. Just
you know how many
there.
Blackouts they've had?
No, they had when they rebuilt the stadium for the Super Bowl in 2003.
Can we talk fantasy again?
The city automatically bought. Tickets so there would be no sellout.
So, Rivers, before everybody on his team was sent to IR with injuries, he had multiple touchdown passes in 7 of his first 8 games. Only 3 of his final 8. Only 3 of his final 8.
And he got beat to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had nobody getting open, and he had no offensive line.
And he loves to stay in the pocket.
He does.
Well, he's a statue.
Well, he can't do anything else.
Okay. And maybe this is, you know, obviously we talk about the offensive line. Antonio Gates, if he comes back.
I don't think he will. Yeah. He's been talking about retirement for a decade now.
Right. So, okay, he's not there. So, I mean, do we believe in Ladarius Green to be
also
the guy to step in?
They got to re-sign him.
All right.
I don't think they will.
Malcolm Floyd's retiring.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Okay, it's going to be a mess.
Keenan Allen's back, but who else is there? Melvin Gordon eventually will score an NFL touchdown, right? That's true. We believe that will happen at some point.
Oh. I mean, the thing is, though, like we're talking about all
this. Where does he go with the football? I mean, what does he do?
This is basically what it was last year. I mean, by the end of the year, all these, like, they even had Stevie Johnson at the beginning of the year. He was donezo for a while.
Man, that was disappointing.
Yeah, I know. That sucked. So I think he'll have Allen back. He'll have
Johnson
back. They'll probably draft a receiver relatively high, and I think there are some good, solid, like, flanker slot guys in this draft. I think Gates probably ends up coming back.
Okay.
For one more ride.
I think they should re-sign Green personally. I don't know their cap situation off the top of my head, but
I think they can make some improvements and be a solid.
I could see them not signing Green and just trying to just hoard that cap space and just trying to address that offensive line because right now I just don't see Rivers staying healthy. They're going to be playing in front of, you know, half-empty stadiums. And you look at the skill position players, Malcolm Floyd gone, Stevie Johnson's whatevers, Keenan Allen.
Hey,
you're whatever.
Come on.
Quit besmirching good players.
What?
I
don't understand. Stevie Johnson is just a whatevers player. How long ago was his breakout season?
It was like 2 or 3 years ago only when he went like 1,107 to 10 touchdowns 3 years in a row.
If you haven't broken out in the last 2 years and you didn't run 4-3,
you're not
relevant, right? If you're just somebody that just comes in and does their job and puts up numbers, you're just not relevant in the James Coe universe.
No, he's an okay receiver. That's it. He's whatevers. That's what I said.
Whatever.
Okay. All right.
By the way, I was going to make a joke.
What is the love affair with Stevie Johnson and Danny Wood? I just don't get it.
Johnson's a very good player.
Yeah, what? Why don't you like guys who put up fantasy points? What is your aversion? Oh, wait, that's right.
I don't get it. All right, great.
But what about Melvin Gordon next year, though?
Honestly, where are you taking Melvin Gordon?
I'm not.
I think Melvin Gordon's going to hang around till like the 8th round.
Forever.
You know, he's going to hang on the board forever. And I think he'll be better.
Yeah. It can't be worse.
He could be, but you don't want that. He'll be better, and, you know, he'll be a guy. You're not going to play him every single week, but he'll give you decent value.
I don't think I'm drafting a Charger next year. I mean, I'm going through this list here. I don't see myself drafting any of these guys.
I'm interested in Allen. I'm very interested in
definitely
Allen.
He all was right, like what round?
He was like a third or fourth round pick this year.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I don't see any reason that he should not be again this year.
I would probably hope to snag him in like five or six if that perception is, you know, the injuries and like, oh, Chargers offense. I would hope to wait on him there, but.
But he was great. I mean.
He won't go in the first four rounds. There's no way.
I mean, probably not, but I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up like fulfilling that kind of value.
We'll see. We'll see where the offseason narratives and workouts and best shape of his life and that stuff comes through, you know, this summer, but I like Allen.
Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if a Charger goes off the board before like the seventh round.
I agree. Yeah. I think it'll be Keenan Allen. I think.
Oh, he will be the first Charger drafted.
Right, and I think he goes in round seven. I do. I think he goes in round seven or eight. I just don't. There's going to be too many question marks around this team, and I think people are going to stay away. I know I am. I'm not drafting a Charger. I'm looking, and Keenan Allen went to. I love Keenan Allen, but. Golly, man, that whole situation just scares me.
Well, wait, this is one of the it's fun to talk about this stuff now too, but it'll be interesting to see draft, free agency.
True.
Once they get into camp and stuff,
that's
like,
true.
They could scoop up like Jari Evans just got cut. They could get somebody else in free agency. Like if they rebuff that line, they get a dynamic playmaker from the draft. All of a sudden, we're drinking that Kool Aid. The training camp is filling up.
So you
know, the training camp stands are filling up.
You nullified it. The previous hour of this podcast. God, this stuff could change.
Look,
so what do we know?
I'm an eternal optimist.
What do we know?
I want to give people hope.
What do we know?
And to tell them to keep listening to the podcast all offseason.
Which is what
down.
We're going
to
do. Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's it
that's
for
it.
The AFC
let's,
West.
Let's tap it and get out of here.
All right, see you.
This is the day.
All right, Daily Dap time. Who's ready? It's always a question of who's ready.
I'm ready.
All right, Marcus Grant, give me a Daily Dap.
A couple real quick. One, first for the Twitter account, Bat Labels. Batman 66 Labels, they go through and they have screenshots of all the different labeling you see from the old Batman TV series. So the Bat Ladder with a ladder hanging from a helicopter and a sign that says Bat Ladder. And the Bat Wax Solvent, which has, it looks like the Joker with a can that says Bat Wax Solvent. It's amazing how many things they labeled and how many things have the word bat in them from that show. So that was a fun little thing I came across this morning. But my other dap is... I'm dabbing the Golden State Warriors, man. I got to go home last week. I was in Vallejo, which, by the way, the biggest celebrity now in Vallejo is C.J. Anderson after his Super Bowl clinching touchdown.
There you go.
I hadn't been to a Warriors game probably since I was in high school, and it's weird to go there now. And you would go when I would go as a kid. You went and you always had fun, and you hoped that maybe they would win. Now you go. And there's the expectation that they will win.
Oh, yeah.
And that's bizarre.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's weird that, you know, that the preeminent basketball player in the world calls the Bay Area home, you know? And you go, and it was a good game. It was actually a very competitive, entertaining game. They played the Rockets that night. And, you know, it's funny to watch because when Steph misses shots, there's, like, this weird quiet. Like, that's not supposed to happen.
Right.
But it was a lot of fun. I'm obviously excited to see this team playing well, but I'm happy for all the long-suffering Warriors fans, and now
for
they finally get to enjoy some really good basketball.
Man, when
Steph
I was in
Curry and I are basically the same person.
No, you're not.
Yeah, well, we both got crying Jordan this week. I've actually been crying Jordan three times in less than 2 weeks. I need to, like, review my entire operation.
This is great. It's tremendous. No, I remember being in the Bay Area for those Jason Richardson, Adonal Foyle days.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, the fans would still come.
Yeah. I mean, they've always shown up. They've always supported the team. They just, you know, the best thing we ever had to root for was being the team no one wanted to play in the first round.
Right.
That was it.
There you go. All right, Alex Gellhar, what's up?
Two daps. First, dap to Matt Harmon. As we mentioned, this is his last week right now because we a seven-month tour of duties for people starting out at the NFL. It's not the greatest, but he's had a killer 7 months here, and he'll still be hanging out and probably appearing on the podcast from time to time. But
that would be great.
Daily dap to Harmon for killer work this season. And then second one is daily dap to the people that have like rated us on iTunes. There have been some good, some bad. Somebody was like, "What even is a dap?" Like, I don't want to listen to that. Well, like, hey,
what?
Then stop the podcast the last 5 minutes. We just saved you time. But for those of you that like to hear what else we're consuming in the world and stuff, but you know, this is what we're doing. And I'd encourage more of you to do that, because we can look at those. If there's something you like about the show, something you don't, put your voice out there on iTunes. Let us know on Twitter. It's the only way we can make the podcast better for you guys. So daps to all the people that have chimed in on what they've liked and disliked about the pod. We'll hope to make it better in year two.
What else do they not like?
Somebody was like, I tapped out when that guy talked about poetry, which was Harmon mentioned it one time.
You're welcome, pal. I was trying to culture you.
Somebody ripped Fabiano for his fandom. They're like, I can't listen to a podcast where a guy likes the Lakers, the Cowboys, and the Yankees.
Well, that's legitimate.
That's legit.
But some guys have said they like our chemistry. Somebody told you to stop saying bro so many times.
Oh,
James.
My God. I love saying bro.
I know. It's not going to stop.
It's not going to stop.
I was like, that's not something we can change.
Yeah,
but
that's
so there's all sorts of stuff. There's some good, some bad.
Can we also say, though, that Fabiano's fandom should include the Celtics, not the Lakers, to have all the hated teams? Because the Lakers are beloved by everybody.
A lot of people hate the Lakers.
No.
Nobody hates the Lakers.
Well, not now, because they're not good.
That is inaccurate.
What do you have, like 15 more to go? Okay.
All right. Matt Harmon, what's up?
Yeah, I'm actually prepared this time.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's let him go last, because it's going to be his...
Right. His swan song.
Okay.
Usually, Hank is also secretly just inserting himself before me. But
yes,
okay.
It's
no.
Go ahead.
No, I appreciate you.
I wanted you to headline the dap section.
All right, go.
Why don't you just go, Adam Rank?
Not have to curtain jerk for guys like us when you're clearly better than us.
Just go already.
City of San Francisco for the Super Bowl. It was a well done event. Not so much for the people who run the bar at the Hilton in Union Square, because they kept kicking us out of the lobby. It's a lobby. You can't kick us out of there. Your bar can shut down, but you can't kick us out of the lobby. Dap to spring training and March Madness coming up. My favorite,
yes.
Favorite non NFL time of the year. I gotta say that because I'll get mad if I don't. But like
the shadowy league figures nodded back here.
Read between the lines. Spring training, March Madness coming up. Daps to that. Daps to Bryan Danielson, one of my favorite professional wrestlers of all time, who had to retire this week because of concussions. The one cool, one of my coolest sports moments was being at WrestleMania 30, being in the fifth row thanks to the Barnyard Dog.
Yeah, buddy.
Gary Barnage and D'Angelo Williams. And being able to witness his triumphant for watching this guy through Ring of Honor and everything and finally reaching the ultimate of his profession is kind of a cool thing. Dap to the fans in San Francisco. I was working on the NFL Now live at the Super Bowl 50, whatever the name of the show was. And every once in a while, you'd get people walking by the set, and they see me standing there doing nothing per use.
And they yell, that helps no one.
No. They would yell, that helps no one. But the overwhelming majority of those people were yelling, danger zone.
Yeah.
Not that a lot. I didn't realize. So daps to all of you. And finally, of course, daps to Matt Harmon, who, as Alex mentioned, has to do the 7-5. I had to do the 7-5. I know it's not a fun
thing.
As did
Marcus.
I did as well.
Three times, yeah. I did it, and it worked out. But I thought that what you contributed here to NFL Fantasy Live, to NFL Fantasy in general, really helped take us to another level. You're bringing in a new group of fans and brought a fresh perspective. Charlie's fans as well. So it's really appreciated, and we look forward to seeing you back in 5 months. It can't come soon enough. So keep doing what you do. Have a lot of fun, and we'll see you soon.
I'll continue the love fest, Daily Dap to Reception Perception, which I thought was always a tremendous read, and it's just unbelievable the amount of work that goes into that. Honestly, truly. I'm like, I don't have time for that. It's like... That's craziness.
You have a child. I only have a dog.
even if I was single, am I going to put in that work? I don't know. man, but yeah, it's tremendous, the amount of work that you put into that. So that's awesome, man. I have another one. It's the Taiwanese animators.
Yep.
They have done an awesome job covering.
They do great
what
work.
What do they do now?
The NFL. No, they're Super Bowl. I don't know why.
Oh, I missed their Super Bowl.
They are obsessed with nut shots. They're obsessed.
They love it.
They absolutely love it. And in their Super Bowl preview video, I was dying on my computer. I don't know why. I mean, randomly, there's Optimus Prime. There's Batman dabbing. for some reason. Okay. I don't know. C.J. Anderson was doling out nut shots. I mean, I don't understand what was going on. It's awesome, though. It is awesome. Taiwanese animators on YouTube, if you want to go down a nice little black hole and watch a few of their videos. But they not only do they handle sports, they also handled the
Oh, they do everything. Yeah. They do politics. Absolutely. They do culture.
Quick aside, well, you mentioned black holes. Maybe think of something. Did anybody else see on Twitter this morning that apparently two massive black holes merged into one in space?
The space-time continuum is ripping or something.
We're doomed.
We're all going to die.
So go check out the Taiwanese animators before it's too late.
They had their take on the new allegations that Sean P. Diddy Combs, I guess, hired somebody or something to shoot Tupac or something. Anyways, that's really funny. They've got some news articles and also some sports takes, but it is really funny. If you haven't seen them, go check them out. Taiwanese animators on YouTube. All right, Matt Harmon, the floor is yours, pal.
Well, for one, I want to thank you guys for being way too nice to me today and really all year. It was a lot of fun.
We can change that next time around.
I would appreciate that. So thanks again. That was great, and I look forward to coming back here too. But, yeah, you mentioned reception perception. It will be in full force this off season while I'm, you know.
Tell us where we can find it, pal.
You can follow me on Twitter.
There you go.
At @MattHarmon_BYB. I'll be doing a weekly column for the Washington Post while I'm away from here, and I'll also be putting a bunch of stuff on my blog and hopefully finally putting out that book that I wanted to do last offseason. But
an e-book.
But you guys had to make me move out here for this freaking job.
What's the book about?
Reception perception.
Oh.
How things went down in 2015.
Got it.
Pretty much just everybody's scores.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so it'll be great. And I got a lot of stuff on draft prospects coming out, so tune in for that. My daily dap goes to Old Spice hair paste. Now, I...
That's an old-timey phrase.
Well, he's pulling a Dan Hansis here.
Well, now listen. Like now listen. As you might know, I am a little bit snobby about some things, particularly
what?
Hair pro. Yeah, I know. Breaking news. sitting here in a paisley-like shirt, and I'm a little snobby about some things. So normally, like, I always try to go for, like, higher-end hair products.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm, like, going through the grocery store. I think it was last week. I'm at Ralph's, and they didn't have, like, anything I normally use, but I was out of hair gel, so I was like, oh, God. I was like, I'll just grab this crap from Old Spice. Like, and I was like, I'm sure I'll just use it once, and then I'll go to a real store and get some real stuff. I put it in. It has by far been my favorite hair paste. Because normally I use gel. This is a paste. I guess that's supposed to be different. It's been by far my favorite. I think it looks good. It doesn't get
your hair does look magnificent.
It does,
today,
yeah,
by the way.
No, this whole.
I don't know if it's the podcast studio lighting or whatever, but
the lighting
for one
sucks.
For
come
one,
on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. but no, I think like all last week while you guys were gone, this was my first week with it, and I was like consistently cranking it out of the park with hair day. So. Honestly, I mean, Old Spice, listen.
Where did this go from?
This hair paste is quality stuff, and I now use Old Spice hair paste, Old Spice deodorant, and Old Spice body wash. So, Old Spice, if
sponsor
you're listening,
us.
Whenever you want to sponsor this podcast,
boom,
you have a fan right here. My daily dap goes out to their hair paste.
Wow.
Tremendous product.
Wow.
I like it.
By the way, there is a huge difference between paste and gel. I could see a high school Matt Harmon, basically last year, Matt Harmon.
What?
dipping into a giant blue tub of hair gel and trying to pass it off.
Well, the problem with gel is like you get a good hold, which is important, especially when it's windy. But like you also like because I have a very particular process where needs to be a good distance between putting the gel in and then combing again and putting the hairspray in. Sorry, this is insufferable. And if you don't have enough time between that,
this is why we're getting rid of Matt Harmon. Right.
Right. Or
I'm
going to
leave an iTunes comment.
Right, please.
Less hair talk.
Less hair talk.
That jackass with the hair talk.
How dare you?
All right.
All right. Should we get out of here?
Yes, let's get out of here. All right. For Matt Harmon, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, Adam Rank, thanks for joining us. And Alex Gelhard, the Whiskey from Wisconsin. I'm James Coe. We are out of here. See ya.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Bucky, tell everybody what's on the latest Move the Sticks episode.
The five lessons we learned from the Denver Broncos in terms of how to build a championship team. Also, what are the deepest positions in the draft? Look down the middle. Those defensive tackles are nice.
Yeah, we've got you covered as we march towards the NFL draft. Move the Sticks. You can find us on iTunes, NFL.com/podcast, as well as YouTube.